Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
What makes a man a master of seduction? What goes on inside the world of pickup artists? And what can we learn from one man's journey through that world, and where has it led him today? This week, we're talking with Garrison Cohen, a veteran of the study and practice of seduction. He takes us along his exploration of the major schools of seduction and what he learned from the ups and downs of playing the pickup game. Well, today we're here with Garrison Cohen. He runs the media department with the Authentic Man program. How are you doing today, Garrison?
I'm great. Thanks for having me here. Good. This is fun already.
Awesome. Good. And Casey's on the mic here, too. How you
hey,
doing,
Hey, Trip.
Bud?
Good to see you again.
So the reason why I wanted to bring Garrison in is that you've had this amazing kind of path up to today where you're involved in the Authentic Man program. And I just wanted to kind of go back into your history and explore that and what you've learned. Cause I imagine if I'm one of the listeners out there and there's all of these different things that have to do with meeting women and social networking dynamics, that kind of thing, that I've got so many options and you've done so many of them. So I get to like cherry pick what it is that you've learned and get the kind of full picture. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great question as well, because it's been a real journey and I've learned so much from each step of the way, and ultimately it's really led me somewhere that is where I've always wanted to go, but it took a while.
Good, good. So let's start back. What was the first thing that you stumbled upon, or maybe kind of set the stage? Who were you and what made you step into that first phase there?
Yeah, I think the first phase for me was probably sometime in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, like any kid going through high school, there's just like those high school days where nothing seems to work and it's just this uncomfortable teenage angst.
Okay.
And for me in particular, I was shy. You know, I had a girlfriend every now and then, but I wanted more. I always wanted more. And even in high school, there was just the beautiful goddess woman that just made my heart just drop. Mm. And for me, it was always, well, I can't see any reason why I can't be with her, but I don't know how to be with her. And she's not really relating with me as someone she wants to be with. And I'm not one of the people that surrounds her. And how do I even talk to her? And what do I say? And how do I do that?
So it's like this invisible like glass wall in between the two of you. Like, how do I even get in there? How do I even get close to this woman and then see what's possible for us?
Yeah, I didn't even know where to begin.
Okay.
But I knew that's where I wanted to go. And I remember one of the first things that kind of caught my eye was I think I was watching like the Sally Jesse Raphael show or something like that. And there was this guy on the show who was like, I can get any woman. And I can prove it. And here are all these other women who say that I can get any woman. And I was just like, you know, my little brother wanted to watch like He-Man or something. I was like, no, don't change the channel. What is this?
This is what I need.
You know, he wanted to watch the after school special. And I was like, wait, no, mom says I can hold the clicker now. Give me that.
Right.
You know, so I wanted to know, who is this guy? What's he talking about? And that was my very first introduction into that. Oh, wow, there actually is this other world out there. There's actually people out there who have something that they're teaching. And they say a guy can be with the kind of woman he really wants to be with. And so that was Ross Jeffries, and he was teaching what was called speech seduction. And at the time, there was nothing like it. It was groundbreaking. No one had ever heard of anything like it. And a few years went by, and then it kind of came back around again. I had graduated college, and I was living in Boston at the time, and a friend of mine had actually done a course with Ross Jeffries. And he was telling me all about it, and he was sort of sharing stuff with me, and it just seemed kind of weird and funny a little bit. And the basic breakdown is that it's NLP-based seduction. And if you don't know about NLP, that stands for neuro-linguistic programming.
Okay.
And it's just a way that a lot of education happens, a lot of learning happens. It's a lot of based on the way that the brain naturally works. You know, it's like, don't think of the pink elephants. Good luck.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what he had done was he had taken all of this NLP learning and really sort of melded it with seduction. And it was brilliant and groundbreaking and a little manipulative.
Uh-huh.
And
were you actually trying this stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But he would have all these pre-written scripts that you could actually learn that were just chock full of all kinds of brain commands.
So you're actually making suggestions to this potential partner.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And it was on some levels, it was a lot of work. And on other levels, what I was really learning was the power of language and the power of seductive languaging. And that's actually been a real gift. I feel good about my interactions with women. I felt like I always left women better than I'd found them and given them a great experience. But at the same time, it was probably, of all the things that I've studied, probably the shallowest in terms of creating a real connection with someone. Because it was completely brain-based. Nothing about the heart, nothing about the body, nothing about actually really getting to know someone.
So you're literally just reading a script.
Yeah.
And through an interaction with a woman, and then through that interaction, she's becoming more and more kind of entranced or attracted to you. Is that what the outcome was?
Yeah, it really is. It's actually really giving her thoughts and ideas and suggestions that she's sort of thinking are her own thoughts and feelings and suggestions and starting to become turned on.
Okay.
Now, I had a lot of great experiences with that, but I remember that, you know, I remember being at a convention and meeting this woman and running a few of what was called patterns, and I was amazed. I was amazed at the response. And I had an amazing weekend with this woman.
Can you give us a couple examples? I'm just going to take some notes over here.
You know, this was quite some time ago, and I don't really know where speed seduction is at these days, but it kind of started off. That was kind of what started it off.
Okay, so for you, it worked, and it was surprising, and it was interesting, but it was also just really shallow. Like, it just wasn't cutting it. There was something missing, right?
The thing is back at that time, I was in my early 20s, and I didn't really know that there was something missing. Mm. Like, I didn't know how profound relationships and interactions with women can really be right from the beginning. So with the little that I was getting, I was like, hey, this is great. This is great. But here's the thing. There was this one woman that I'd met, and she was the kind of woman that I really wanted to be with. And so I was using what I had learned, and then I remember it was harder and harder to get together with her. And finally she said to me, you know, I remember she said this. She said, my feminine intuition just feels like something is kind of off. And I don't know what it is, but I don't think this is really working for me. And I was kind of heartbroken and a little devastated. And even then, on some level, I knew that I was trying to game her. I was trying to get something from her.
Okay.
And I wasn't really getting to know her. And she could feel it.
Okay.
She could feel that I was up to something.
That's a creepy feeling.
Yeah, it was. I was like, oh man. All right.
So was that the catalyst for moving on, or what happened after that?
After that, I moved out to LA. And I actually spent a little time with that community because it's sort of started
the
off
speed
in
seduction
Southern
community.
California. Yeah.
Okay.
I spent some time with that, and I took some seminars. And what I noticed is that back at that time, the kind of clientele that it would attract were a lot of guys who really wanted to were more comfortable kind of manipulating than really getting to know a woman. And because I was kind of young in that regard at that time, I just assumed that's the way it was. Hmm. And after a while, it didn't feel like it was a place that I really wanted to stick around with. And again, you know, to its credit, I will say that I learned a lot about the beauty and the power and how much of a difference you can really make in your interaction with a woman. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think it's something that's easily used for, it's too easily used for manipulation.
It's got kind of a shadow, dark side. It sounds like a slippery slope.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, it's like anything. You know, someone discovers fire, and great, you can use fire to help, you know, fuel a city, or you could help it to burn down, you know, a town. So people are going to use it for whatever they're going to use it for.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. And so then what happened next? You kind of got, oh, this isn't for me anymore. And then what was next?
I started to transition a little bit more into hypnosis. Whoa. I wanted to learn hypnosis. So it actually got a little worse before it got a little bit better.
Okay.
So I actually started taking hypnosis courses.
Wow.
And I wanted to understand the deeper design more.
Okay.
And that was kind of a little bit more of a shorter phase.
You're going for the Jedi level. These are not the droids you're looking for.
Right. These are not the men you want to talk to.
Yes.
I am the man you want to talk to.
And was that in any particular school, or is it hypnosis for dating, or what was that?
That was with a guy out in Toledo, Ohio, named Mark Cunningham.
Okay.
And I learned about him. He was kind of associated with Ross Jeffries and Speed Seduction at the time. And he was just doing his own thing. And he just had a lot to teach about just really the structure of the mind and the unconscious and how it all works together. And it wasn't even so much about meeting women. It was more about just understanding who we are and the structure of hypnosis.
Okay.
And it was interesting, but ultimately, at the time, I really wanted to learn more about meeting women. And so while that was interesting, it didn't really so much fit on the path.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So from there, I was in LA for a few years. Then I moved up to San Francisco for a few years. And by that time, I was starting to feel a little turned off because my experience up to that point had been like, okay, if I want to meet women, then this is what I have to do. And this is a lot of work. And it just doesn't feel the way I want to feel. I mean, here's the thing. From the beginning, all I really ever wanted was to feel that I could truly be myself at my best and have women just love me for that. But it never really seemed like it was enough. I was like, okay, well, I'm being me. Nothing's happening.
And right, yeah.
So I knew there was something missing in the process, and I still knew that I wanted to continue to look for it. I wanted to continue to try to find what that missing piece was, or what that knowledge was, or someone to teach me something. Because I could see all around me, I go out, I see other guys, they're not even the best looking guys, and yet they've just got these beautiful, flowing, sexy, fun, wild, profound, amazing interactions with women. Why can't I have that? Hmm. What do I need to learn how to do that?
And up to that point, it was a lot of work, you said. It was just like starting to really feel like a lot of work to do.
Yeah, it was. It was feeling like too much work. I mean, I would stay up late, like writing out these patterns word for word to get them in my head, trying to memorize all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And while there was some success with it, the amount of energy it took, it just didn't feel right. Part of me was just like, it shouldn't have to be this much work.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay. And then, so where'd you go from there? So you moved, you're up in San Francisco and you're disenchanted with this. It's like, this is feeling like a lot of work. So what happened after that?
My same friend from Boston who had introduced me to Speed Seduction called me and said, "Hey dude, I heard about this new thing. It's called Real Social Dynamics. And they're going to be teaching a course in San Francisco and I'm going to check it out." I was like, wow, right here where I live. interesting. And he said it was all about, it had nothing to do with neurolinguistics, had nothing to do with so much what you say, but it was more about body language. That's okay. what he told me at the time.
All right.
And I was curious about that because I hadn't even considered how body language and social dynamics is a part of it. So I went and I checked out the course. And now, again, this is a few years ago, and you know all of these things have probably changed and evolved to some degree.
Right.
But I remember walking in, and here was this whole team of instructors that looked like there had been some sort of Muppet explosion, and they had just picked up the pieces and put those Muppet pieces on their bodies, and that's what they were wearing for clothes. I mean, everybody was dressed like... I don't know. My first experience was like Muppet rock stars.
Oh my God.
No, Fozzie, no.
Yeah, and I was really intimidated at first. I was like, do not tell me I have to dress like that.
Right.
And basically what I had learned was that this is what was called peacocking.
Oh, okay.
And peacocking is where the basic premise of it is any guy who can dress like that is either a total idiot or so confident that I'm intrigued. From a woman's perspective.
Got it.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more. I'm sure there's a whole, what's that online dictionary? Encyclopedia. Yeah, Wikipedia. I'm sure there's like endless Wikipedia on what peacocking is, but that's sort of my little nub of it.
Got it. So this is where you first got the hit, like, oh, this is real social dynamics is when you saw the peacocking. And
yeah, well, there was peacocking, and then there was banter, and then there was body language, and then there was kino. And all these things. Kino is basically short for kinesthetic, physical touch.
Okay.
And just knowing how to touch a woman. And there are all kinds of little ways, but specifically non-sexual. It's non-sexual, but it simply just shows that you're comfortable touching her. You're comfortable touching her body. And therefore, she becomes comfortable with you touching her and is comfortable touching you. Because, I mean, and it makes sense. It's not often that a woman will want to sleep with a man if she feels that he's not comfortable with her body. Mm. And so it's just a way of showing I'm really comfortable with you right away. And it makes sense.
So what nuggets were you taking away from this work?
Yeah.
The real social dynamics?
I was learning a lot about banter and playfulness and specifically social dynamics. As a matter of fact, I was blown away. I had never even considered how powerful social dynamics are. And so learning how to, well, at the time, and I've got a slightly different perspective on it right now, but at the time it was basically what they were doing was taking, they were one of the first people to actually take a look at, okay, here's this almost mythical figure of the alpha male. And here's the alpha male who's incredibly successful with women. And they took a look at all the things that he's doing. How does he stand? How does he move? How does he speak? How does he interact? How does he touch? How does he live his life? And so what they were doing was literally taking all those qualities and then showing guys how to emulate, simulate, mimic the qualities of the alpha male.
Wow.
So that women have the perception of, wow, he's that guy.
Walks like a duck, talks like a duck, must be a duck.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that sounds like a shitload of work.
You know, it was a lot of work, and it was really confronting as well. And what we would start to learn was we would actually just start to learn to tell playful, fun stories. Mm-hmm. And these, at the time, when I was involved with them, these were stories that were basically just canned stories. Like 100 different guys would be using the same story. Mm-hmm. But they would be short and funny and interactive, and it was just a way of kind of getting guys over the hump into conversation. So all that anxiety of, I don't know what to do, now they know exactly what we do. Hey, we're guys. We like structure. We like logic.
Got it.
We like having an idea of, here's what you do.
And so all of this was like literally deconstructed, the behaviors, the what to say, scripts and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, it was really amazing. And the more I stayed with it, the more I realized this is really becoming a science. It's becoming a science and an art because all of these distinctions were actually being broken down and distinguished. Wow. And explained. And there was like an entire dictionary of terms that people were learning. And then guys were starting to see, oh, I just got AMOG'd, which means alpha male other guy. That means another alpha guy comes in. So they developed all these strategies to deal with alpha male other guys. Here's how you AMOG. Here's how you deal with an AMOG.
Wow.
Here's how you AMOG.
And were you guys identifying yourselves as pickup artists at this time?
At that time, no. I don't think the phrase had really gotten to that level yet.
Okay.
But one phrase that already was in the whole community was to go out sarging, which was kind of funny. And it's still a big word today. And a lot of guys don't even know what it means. They say, hey, let's go out sarging. Sarging basically means to go pick up women. But what a lot of guys don't know is that sarging came from Ross Jeffries, his cat named Sarge. And Ross would notice that his cat, whenever he was getting ready to attack his little plastic mouse, Sarge, his eyes would kind of squint down and he would get really focused and he would sort of wiggle his butt getting into the attack position. And he would be sarging the mouse.
So there's guys in every city emulating Ross Jeffries' cat.
All over the world. Somewhere out in Turkey, there's a guy saying, hey man, let's go sarge.
Let's go sarge.
Yeah, and very few guys even know what the history of that is.
That's funny.
So we weren't pickup artists yet. But it was definitely coming.
And so you were involved in this and you were learning all these behaviors and you were tacking them on. Like, how involved were you in this process? I mean, were you a spectator? Are you really in there learning this stuff?
With Real Social Dynamics at the time, and I don't know how they do it now, but at the time, it felt a little extreme. It was a little extreme.
Extreme, like,
I'm not really inspired. Like, for women that I wasn't really feeling inspired to talk to or connect with, it was kind of irrelevant because it was just about pounding out, you know, repetition, 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 and basically numbing myself to any fear of approach anxiety and just going in and learning the stuff, learning the patterns, the scripts, the moves, the languaging, the...
So you're really shutting down, like, I'm not even in touch with the fact that I'm scared right now. I'm just muscling through this this kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it was. It was muscling through it.
Okay.
It was just being like being a quarterback with a football, just plowing his way through everybody to get to a field goal. That was kind of the feeling of it. And to these guys' credit, you know, they were one of the early examples of guys who were really, really trying to take a look at what is going on here and really break it down.
Mm-hmm.
So they were doing good work. It was uncomfortable and scary and all of that, but it was part of the evolution of things.
What was the quality? I like how you described what the quality was with the speed to seduction and the interactions you were having with the women. What was your experience with the interactions with the women in doing these kind of things with them?
Yeah.
Like, what were you taking away and what was their experience? Are you aware of that?
At that time, I think they probably felt that I was completely unconscious to them because really what we were learning was to just really steamroll their resistance.
Did it work?
Not so much with Real Social Dynamics. I know it did work for a lot of guys, but for me, the whole steamrolling thing was so uncomfortable. Uncomfortable in a way that just didn't quite feel right to me. And so I didn't really, I could feel that it's something that I could be good at, but I wanted to connect with other guys who were also doing that. And that's when I started to look into the San Francisco Lair.
Come back next week as we continue our talk with Garrison. He tells us about a concept called inner game and how mastering that is more important than anything else he learned about relating with women.